Chapter 55. Hermione and Ron exchanged glances, both of them suddenly looking extremely tense.
"What's up?" Harry asked warily.
"You've not told anyone about the Horcruxes, right?"
Hermione asked.
"I told you I haven't," Harry said.
"But they obviously know something about them," Ron said quickly. "Fred, George, Ginny, and Lupin were with us when we retrieved the cup. You've said Malfoy was there as well, and Lucius Malfoy retrieved the locket. They've known that I was collecting relics of Voldemort's, but they have no idea that they were Horcruxes," Harry said. "Severus told me to keep it a secret."
"Severus," Ron muttered.
"Not sure I'll ever get used to hearing you call him that."
Hermione shot a glare at Ron. "That's not important right now," she said. "Harry, how could Snape tell you to keep it a secret if he didn't even know what the secret was?"
Harry shrugged. "He knew Dumbledore gave me the task, knew it involved something extremely dark, and told me not to say anything about it," he said. "I got into a big fight. Well, not a fight exactly, but I got into it with Draco. He's finally accepted that I'm not going to tell him any more about them. He knows too much as it is."
Ron and Hermione looked relieved. "There's too much risk if this information gets out," she said.
"Agreed," Harry said. "We think you should destroy the diary and all the notes," Ron said abruptly.
"Do you think so?" Harry asked.
"I'd been thinking about it," he admitted. "I just didn't want to do it before Voldemort was actually gone."
"He's gone now," Hermione said, "so I think it's safe to get rid of it. In fact, I think we're in more danger if we don't get rid of it."
She exchanged a loaded glance with Ron.
"What is it?" Harry asked, eyeing the two of them.
Hermione sucked in a deep breath and let it out again slowly.
"We've talked about it a lot," she said, "and we think you should obliviate us."
Harry reared back in shock. "What?"
The chair he was sitting in tilted back too far for him to regain his balance, and he went crashing to the ground.
"Harry!" Hermione exclaimed. Her expression of worry didn't lessen as Harry simply lay there, trying to figure out why his friends would want him to modify their memories.
"Get up," Ron muttered, hauling Harry to his feet. "Malfoy's glaring at us enough as it is."
Harry glanced at Draco, but simply waved a hand dismissively to indicate that he was all right. He didn't have the concentration to reassure Draco at the moment.
"Why would you want me to obliviate you?" he demanded.
"Harry, sit down," Hermione said nervously. "Just hear us out."
"I reckon we should probably be thankful you're so opposed," Ron said.
"Of course I'm opposed to the idea," Harry said indignantly. But he righted his chair and sat down again. "Why the bloody hell would I want to obliviate you? Why would you want me to?"
He couldn't fathom what they were thinking.
"Harry, it's dangerous to know about the Horcruxes," Hermione explained. "We needed to know, and you needed the help. But now? It's over. I want it to stay over. We need to destroy everything we possibly can to help prevent something like this from happening again."
"But to destroy our memories?" Harry questioned in disbelief. "Isn't that going a little too far?"
"Not your memories," Ron said. "Just ours."
"And that makes it better how?" Harry snapped.
"You're not as vulnerable as we are," Hermione said. "You can protect the secrets better than we can," she added, sending a pointed glance to the other side of the room.
"You've kept it secret this long," Harry protested. "Why couldn't you continue to keep it secret?"
"Harry," Hermione said gently, "as the story gets out about Voldemort's defeat, there's going to be questions about what you were doing with Nagini, what the artifacts were that you dumped at Voldemort's feet."
So, it's not like I'm going to tell anyone, Harry said.
And you wouldn't either.
No, we wouldn't, Hermione agreed. Not intentionally. Harry frowned at her qualification.
What do you mean?
She means that I'm known for saying things I sometimes shouldn't, Ron said.
Harry stared at him, knowing it had cost his friend a great deal to say those words.
Ron averted his gaze, but continued speaking. I don't want to accidentally end up mentioning the Horcruxes, he said. I reckon we were lucky I didn't say anything when I was drunk on your birthday.
You'd never say anything, Harry protested, but all three of them were well aware that his words weren't ringing true.
Harry, anyone could walk up to Ron and I right now and easily get the information from us, Hermione said. All Snape would have to do is use legilimency, and he could find out everything he wanted to know.
He wouldn't, Harry defended.
But someone else could, she said quietly. Someone with less morals.
Never would have thought Snape had morals, Ron said. But she's right, Harry. Any Death Eater wannabe with a few skills could find out everything from us easily.
Then we'll teach you occlumency, Harry said, so you can shield your memories. But Hermione was shaking her head even before he'd finished speaking.
Yes, that might slow them down, but they could still torture us for the information, she said.
Harry stared at her, wide-eyed.
Do you really think someone's going to capture and torture you? He asked.
Anything's possible, she said. You should know that better than anyone.
But that means you're still not safe, Harry said, his voice rising. Voldemort's gone, damn it!
Harry, he was the most evil wizard on the planet, not the only evil wizard, Hermione pointed out.
I'm not saying that there are people trying to hunt us down, she went on quickly. I'm just saying that it's possible. If not now, then at some point in the future. Everyone knows that we're close to you, and they could try to get information from us. I'm not willing to risk it.
But the occlumency, Harry said.
I've been watching you, mate, Ron said. You face pain and torture like...
Well, like Snape, I suppose. You know who? Voldemort was in your head and you didn't give away your secrets. I couldn't do that. If someone was torturing me, I'm afraid I'd squeal everything I know to make it stop.
We're just not as strong as you are, Hermione said. I'm not sure anyone is as strong as you are, she added, tilting her head thoughtfully as she mentally debated that issue.
I'm not that strong, Harry snapped irritably.
You're 17 years old, Harry, she said. Just stop and think for 10 seconds about how much you've done in your life, how much you've gone through. It's not normal, Harry.
Ron's right, she continued. The only person I can think of who compares is Snape. You've both been to hell and back and survived. I couldn't do it.
Look at Malfoy, Ron said. I know you love him and everything, but he couldn't handle the pressure.
Bloody hell, Harry. You faced Voldemort as a first year and it just kept going from there.
All right, fine, Harry snapped. So I'm a freak.
You're not a freak, Hermione said fiercely.
But you are used to dealing with danger, and you handle it better than a lot of us.
I still don't want to obliviate you, he muttered.
You have to, Hermione snapped. It's too dangerous for us to have the information regarding the Horcruxes.
You two are mental, Harry said.
No more than you, Ron retorted.
Harry snorted in self-contempt. Doesn't bode well for your sanity, then, does it?
Stop it, both of you, Hermione said. None of us are insane. Harry, this is simply the most responsible thing to do.
How could it even be possible to obliviate you? He asked. There's an entire year worth of memories.
"There's spells that will obliviate a single word from a person's memories," Hermione said, briskly, falling into lecture mode. "It'll blur the memories around the utterances of the selected word, so a lot of our conversations surrounding the Horcruxes, including this one, would be a little hazy."
Ron swallowed heavily, but he didn't say anything. Hermione clearly had already filled him in regarding this insane plan of hers.
"You can also select an object," she continued. "All memories surrounding the object would be forgotten."
"The diary," Harry murmured.
"Yes," Hermione said. "The first spell would obviously wipe out much of our memories of the diary, but I'm not sure it would be sufficient. There's still too much we learned that would be extremely dangerous."
"Hermione, this isn't right," Harry said. "I can't do this."
"You must," she insisted. "Ron and I have talked it over. We've agreed that this is for the best."
"Don't you mean that you talked and Ron listened?" Harry said snidely. "What'd you do? Tell him no sex until he agreed to go along with you?"
Hermione's arm swung, the palm of her hand connecting with Harry's cheek and knocking his head sideways with the force of it.
He slowly turned his head back to face her, registering that Ron was gaping in disbelief. "I deserved that," he said.
"Yes, you did," she said, unapologetic, but obviously hurt by Harry's thoughtless remarks. "I don't know how you could say something like that."
Ron shook off his shock and smiled sheepishly. "I reckon it's not so hard to say something stupid when you're feeling frustrated," he said in understanding. Harry touched his cheek gingerly. "I got off pretty easy considering," he agreed. "Hermione, I'm sorry," he said.
"Me too," she said, sighing. "This isn't easy for us either, you know."
"It's got to be 100 times harder for you," Harry said. "That's why I don't understand why you'd both want to do this."
"We're not going to be losing all our memories," she pointed out. "Just the memories of the Horcruxes and the diary. As far as I can tell, it would put us at about the same level as Malfoy in terms of what he knows."
Harry nodded slowly. "That's about all he doesn't know," he agreed.
"Which is a lot, and important, but you've said yourself that he accepts that you can't tell him any more," she said. "We accept it as well. It's safer this way."
"But are the memory spells actually safe?" Harry asked.
"I've researched them thoroughly, and you're easily powerful enough to perform them," she said.
She sent a sidelong glance in Ron's direction, but continued speaking to Harry.
"And you'll be doing them with your wand intact."
"The Lockhart factor has been taken into consideration, then," Harry said dryly. "Luckily, I trust you and Hermione," Ron said, "because I'm not keen on the idea of being obliviated."
"Hermione, are you sure there's not another way?" "I wish there was, but I do think this is best," she answered. "I've been thinking about this for months," she admitted. "I'm not comfortable with losing some of my memories, but I'm far more uncomfortable knowing the things that I do."
Forehead furrowed in concentration, Harry thought about everything she was saying. He understood that she wasn't comfortable knowing what she did. She was uncomfortable with all of the dark arts, and the details about how to create Horcruxes ranked right at the top of the list. All the more horrible for everything that had happened with Voldemort. She could live with that, but she couldn't live with the idea that someone else might gain access to the knowledge. And that was the real problem, the reason they were discussing this. Harry didn't like the situation in the slightest, but unfortunately, it was making sense. He'd already thought about destroying the diary. The thought of what could happen if someone discovered that information, it was terrifying. Another Dark Lord coming along in the future was inevitable, but there was no point in hurrying things along, or handing them a manual, whether it was a physical book or through Ron and Hermione's memories. "It's a risk if I know about the Horcruxes, too," he said. Shouldn't I be obliviated as well?
The information is safer with you than anyone, Ron said simply.
I think you should keep your memories, Hermione said. She paused, biting her lip. This was between you and Voldemort. Of all people, you should know the full truth about what's happened.
But I'll never be able to share that truth with anyone, Harry said. I won't even be able to talk to you two any longer.
Hermione gazed at him sadly.
That is the price you'll have to pay. We'll lose our memories. You'll have the burden of keeping them.
Harry looked over at Draco, feeling nauseated as he remembered Draco saying that he would obliviate his mum if it kept her and himself safe. He remembered feeling horrified at the very idea. He couldn't handle the mixture of concern and anger currently on Draco's face, and he dropped his head into his hands.
You know, I thought all the crises would be over when Voldemort died, he muttered.
He was a huge part of your life for a long time, Harry, Hermione said. It's not going to be simply over with a killing curse. We've got to deal with this. You'll probably have nightmares for months, if not years. There's still the other Death Eater trials. When we get back to Hogwarts, there's a group of rather hostile Slytherins that are not remotely happy with you or Malfoy.
Hermione, Harry interrupted, you're not reassuring.
Oh, Harry, I'm sorry, she said. I know it doesn't sound very reassuring, but it's the truth. Life is full of crises. You have dealt with the biggest crisis, though, so things will be better now. Life simply isn't perfect, but it will be easier.
I'm not sure that obliviating my friends is easier, he muttered. When are you wanting to do this?
The sooner the better, Ron answered. Harry looked at him in surprise. Ron shrugged. If we're going to do this, I'd rather get it done and over with, he said.
Just give me a bit to think about it, Harry said, before dropping the silencing charm.
What'd you do to him? Draco demanded, glaring fiercely at Ron and Hermione.
Leave them alone, Harry said. They're being noble and self-sacrificing for the greater good, he added bitterly.
Hitting you is noble? Ginny questioned.
Harry rubbed his hand over his cheek, wondering if Hermione's handprint was still imprinted there.
No, that was deserved, he admitted, moving over to sit on Draco's lap.
Where's Victoria? He asked.
I had Winky lay her down in the nursery, Draco answered, pulling Harry close.
Have you lot always been this violent?
We're not violent, Hermione protested.
Draco arched a brow, touching Harry's cheek gently.
I do know how this feels, he said pointedly.
You deserved it, Hermione retorted. You were being a vile little cockroach.
And was Harry being a vile little cockroach?
Draco asked dangerously.
Well, no, she admitted. He was being a stupid boy who even in a crisis has sex on the brain.
Harry and Ron laughed as Draco choked, and the others stared at her incredulously.
What were you doing, Harry? Ginny asked. I wouldn't think you'd be propositioning Hermione.
I wasn't, Harry exclaimed, still laughing.
No, he was worried about Ron's lack of sex life,
Hermione retorted.
And if Ron keeps laughing, he's going to discover what that means.
Ron shut up abruptly, and everyone else started laughing.
As amusing as this is, Draco drawled, I know that's not what was actually being discussed over there. He gestured to the other side of the room with a jerk of his chin.
Harry dropped his head to Draco's shoulder, sobering quickly.
Despite what Draco said, you're not generally a violent lot, Blaise pointed out.
The tension has just been incredibly high, Hermione said sadly.
Not everyone puts their best friends through as much shite as I do, Harry said bitterly. This summer has been worse than ever. And that's saying something,
considering the extreme situations we've been in over the years.
Harry, Hermione began.
I know, Hermione, Harry interrupted. I know it should be done, all right. It doesn't mean I have to like it.
I need to talk to Severus, he said abruptly, sliding off of Draco's lap.
Why? Draco demanded.
You want to talk to Snape about it? Ron asked incredulously.
Harry rubbed at his temples, feeling a headache coming on. He'd not had a pain-relieving potion, and had thought that he was done with them.
What the hell is going on? Draco demanded. Everything was fine. He talks to you lot, and what the hell is going on? He repeated.
Harry exchanged glances with Ron and Hermione.
Snape won't try to talk you out of it, will he?
Hermione asked. He is still Snape, Harry retorted. He'll probably encourage it.
Then why are you wanting to talk to him? Ron asked. It doesn't make sense.
Because he'll be more objective about it than I am, Harry said, feeling agitated.
I don't want to do this, but he'll help me think it through.
Ron snorted in disbelief. Snape's objective? Since when? Harry opened his mouth.
Not encouraging, Harry, Ron said dryly.
No, he's not particularly objective, Harry said. But when it comes to things involving Voldemort, I trust his judgment. If he agrees with Hermione, then I reckon it's the right thing to do.
Ron was beginning to look angry. You don't trust Hermione?
I do trust Hermione, but Ron, I don't want to fuck this up, Harry said.
It's all right, Ron, Hermione said soothingly. We should be grateful Harry's thinking it through and wants a second opinion.
Yeah, all right, Ron said grudgingly.
What's going on? Draco ground out.
Harry looked to Ron and Hermione pleadingly. He already knows about part of it, he said.
What part? Ron exclaimed. We've only just talked about this.
Hermione, though, understood Harry was referring to destroying the diary. She was biting her lip and glanced at Draco nervously, but she nodded.
He won't say anything, right? She added.
Course he won't, Harry said. Grabbing Draco's hand, he quickly pulled him out of the room to go find Severus. Downstairs, through the kitchen, a vague wave to Remus and Narcissa, and the two boys burst into the potions room. They received matching glares from Severus and Lucius, who were both working on potions. Harry involuntarily took a step back.
To what do I owe this interruption? Severus asked smoothly.
His gaze flicked to Harry's cheek.
Things not progressing well with the Gryffindors?
It's going fine, actually, Harry said. A little tense, but well enough, anyway.
Until Granger got worked up about something, Draco said snidely, and decided to take it out on Harry.
That's not true, Harry protested. She just slapped me because I said something stupid. I didn't like what she was saying.
What was she saying? Severus asked.
That's what I would like to know, Draco snapped. Harry took a deep breath. He needed to calm down and start over. His eyes skimmed over the workbenches. Obviously, Severus and Lucius were busy.
When you're finished, there's something important that I need to talk to you about, he said. I'm sorry for interrupting.
He was pinned to the spot by Severus's penetrating gaze.
How important? Severus asked.
Whatever it is involves the Dark Lord, Draco spoke up, while Harry was still mentally debating how to answer.
But that's all I know. Well, that and the fact that it's shocking enough to have Harry falling out of chairs and getting himself slapped.
Harry darted an irritated glare in his direction.
You can shut up now, he said.
He was upset enough about this, and Draco wasn't helping. But Severus and Lucius were already moving to preserve their work.
5 minutes, Harry,
And then you will have my full attention, Severus said.
Yes, sir, Harry said, backing out of the room.
Back in the kitchen, Draco commanded Harry to sit down and went about fixing them some tea. Harry sat, as ordered, realizing that Draco did understand how upset he was, even if he didn't understand why. He wondered what he looked like, because Severus and Lucius had willingly interrupted potions brewing for him, and Remus and Narcissa were now eyeing him in concern.
"Is everything all right, Harry?" Remus asked.
Harry shook his head miserably. He quietly drank his tea as Draco explained what little he knew about what had happened. It wasn't long before the group was sitting around the kitchen table, the only difference being the silencing charms placed on the room with the others in the house. He couldn't figure out how it had become quite so involved. He'd only wanted to talk to Severus, but now it was a big meeting. A family meeting? He smiled a little at the thought, except it was more of a war meeting, as it had to do with Voldemort.
"Explain what is so urgent," Severus said, gaining Harry's attention.
"Hermione and Ron want me to obliviate them," Harry said in a rush. Eyes rose around the table.
"Why?" Remus asked.
Watching his words carefully, Harry relayed the conversation he'd had with Ron and Hermione.
"Your Gryffindors have more sense than I have given them credit for," Severus murmured when he had finished.
Harry glared at him.
"Not helpful," he said. "Harry, I had already been debating how to address this topic with you," Severus said. "The fact that they have brought it up themselves makes the problem much easier to deal with. I happen to agree with Miss Granger that this is the best course of action."
Slumping down in his chair, Harry nodded in acknowledgement.
"I told her you'd probably encourage it," he admitted. "The information has clearly been buried in history for a reason," Severus said. "The fewer that know the particulars of the Dark Lord's activities and his defeat, the better."
He eyed Harry speculatively.
"I am surprised Miss Granger is willing to relinquish any knowledge that she has gained," he said.
"But this is horrible knowledge," Harry said. "It's the stuff you try to forget."
He stopped as his words sunk in and sighed in defeat.
"This really is best, isn't it?"
"I believe so," Severus said.
Harry crossed his arms on the table and dropped his head down on them. It wasn't right to obliviate his friends. Did everyone have to face these kinds of ethical dilemmas, or was it just him? He sighed, knowing he wasn't the only one. But he felt like he'd been faced with too many lately. He'd thought the situation with Pettigrew had been bad, and it had been. Even if he felt Pettigrew had deserved his fate, Harry hadn't enjoyed being judge and executioner. Killing Voldemort was its own ethical dilemma, but he'd resigned himself to becoming a murderer long ago. And he'd done it. He'd faced both dilemmas and made choices that he knew many wouldn't approve of. Even though most everyone had felt Voldemort deserved death, not everyone would have been able to compromise their own morals to cast the fatal curse. Draco's conscience had not allowed him to kill Dumbledore when he had everything, his own life, on the line. Now, Harry was being asked to modify his friends' memories, tamper with their minds. He remembered all too well what it had been like having someone messing with his head. From the evil perspective, there was Voldemort. From the good, was it really good? There was Draco helping him with his occlumency. Severus fell somewhere in the middle. Each time had been a violation of his mind. These were different circumstances, but the result would still be the same. In fact, he wasn't positive that this situation wasn't worse. He'd not be observing their memories. He would be erasing them altogether. It didn't matter that it was just the Horcruxes and the diary. They were still memories that belonged to Ron and Hermione. Memory modification was an extreme violation as far as he was concerned. Once again, he had to do something ethically wrong for the greater good. Only this time, it was to his best friends.
Draco's hand found its way to the nape of Harry's neck and rubbed gentle circles, randomly pausing to comb through Harry's hair before resuming the circles. Harry wondered idly if it was the habit of the day, or if Draco would do this often. He found it incredibly soothing. He listened as the others debated the issues, going around the problem the same way Hermione had. There was some historical events brought up that Harry was sure Hermione would have been interested in hearing, or debating, considering she'd probably already read about them. Harry could care less. Nothing changed. Obliviating as much information as possible regarding the Horcruxes was still the best solution. Even Remus was in agreement. And if Remus, the peaceful Gryffindor, thought it was best, Harry couldn't find it within to argue. Winky was summoned to fetch Ron and Hermione. Harry buried his face deeper in his arms. If the gathering upstairs had been uncomfortable, he desperately wished he could disappear. He dragged his head up when he heard the kitchen door open. Hermione and Ron stood just inside the doorway, staring with wide eyes. Harry couldn't blame them for being uncomfortable. This group was rather intimidating if you weren't used to them.
"Harry?" Hermione questioned, her voice pitched higher than normal.
"Come sit down," he said wearily, gesturing to the empty chairs on the other side of Draco. Ron started to shake his head no, but stopped himself. He didn't move, though. Harry was sitting at the end of the table, across from Severus. Per usual, when there was something to be discussed, Draco was next to him. Remus was seated next to Severus. If Ron and Hermione ever sat down, it would leave them facing Lucius and Narcissa. Clearly not a position Ron wanted to be in. Lucius and Severus were remaining impassive, but Narcissa and Remus were smiling warmly.
"It's safe to join us," Remus said mildly.
Ron didn't look like he agreed, but he allowed Hermione to drag him to the table and they sat gingerly. Draco abruptly stood. "Budge over, Harry," he ordered, gesturing to the seat he'd just vacated. Harry wasn't sure whether to be grateful or irritated, and Draco obviously picked up on his mixed emotions.
"I simply don't feel like seeing Weasley have an apoplectic fit because he's forced to sit next to me," he said. His words didn't carry a sting. Rather, they were issued in a carefully neutral tone.
Offering Draco a faint smile of gratitude, Harry slid over a chair to sit next to Ron.
"Harry, what's this about?" Hermione asked nervously.
She jumped as Winky deposited cups of tea before her and Ron. "I told them what we were talking about, and they agree with you," Harry said.
"Oh," Hermione said.
"You told the Malfoys?" Ron hissed.
Yeah, Harry said, wincing. "I didn't plan on it. I was just going to talk to Severus and Draco, but it kind of turned into a family meeting of sorts."
Ron looked faint. "Family meeting?" "We've been holding family meetings here half the summer," Draco drawled pleasantly. "Generally, they're conducted during breakfast, though."
"Breakfast?" Ron echoed. "All of you here? Together?"
"What'd you think, Ron?" Harry asked defensively. "You've known for almost 2 weeks that we were all living here."
"This simply feels awkward to us," Hermione cut in. Harry could see her gripping Ron's hand tightly under the table, whether in reassurance or warning he wasn't sure, but she appeared to have regained her equilibrium.
"I'm sure it feels much more comfortable for you."
Normally, Harry would agree with her. At the moment, though, he was feeling anything but comfortable. He glanced warily at the adults seated across from them. Their silence was not encouraging. It was surprising that Severus hadn't said anything from the first moment Ron had balked at coming into the room.
"Mr. Weasley," Severus's voice cut sharply through the air, Ron instantly sat up straight, and Severus's lips twitched into an amused smirk. Ron glowered, but didn't say anything.
"I wish to know why you believe this course of action is best," Severus said.
Ron cast a questioning glance at Harry, silently asking why Severus was asking him instead of Hermione. "He's already fairly certain how Hermione feels about me obliviating her memories," Harry said. "He wants to hear from you, how you personally feel about it." He rubbed absently at his cheek. "What he really wants to know is if you actually want it, or if it's just Hermione's influence on you."
"Thank you for your translation services, Harry," Severus said sarcastically.
Harry flashed him a rueful smile, shrugging. His smile fell away as he glanced down the table at Hermione. She looked rather put out that once again there was insinuation that she was making this decision for Ron.
"I think I understand now," Draco drawled. "You suggested that she threatened Weasley with..."
Harry turned back to Draco and slapped a hand over his mouth. "Shut it, Draco," he hissed. His friends were uncomfortable enough. They didn't need Draco adding embarrassment on top of everything else. He could see the glint of mischievousness in Draco's eyes, and he could feel Draco's mouth forming into a smirk under his hand. But he was still startled when Draco licked his palm. Inhaling sharply, Harry pulled his hand away. Draco opened his mouth to speak, and Harry kissed him. A quick, hard kiss. "Draco, not one word," he warned. "Hermione didn't actually make such a threat, but I will."
"You wouldn't," Draco protested.
Harry arched a brow, daring Draco not to believe him. "Fine," Draco said, crossing his arms over his chest and sulking. Severus was glaring at both of them.
"This is a serious matter," he said.
"I know it is," Harry protested. "That's why I stopped Draco from teasing Ron and Hermione. They've got enough to be getting on with at the moment." Watching Severus bow his head momentarily, Harry was certain he was searching for patience.
"And you wished for the opportunity to return to Hogwarts, where there are hundreds of them,"
Lucius said to Severus, amusement clear in his voice.
"I believe we have already established that there are none as difficult as these two,"
Severus said snidely.
"Oh no," Harry said. "We're not starting this again."
Severus arched a brow.
"Are you suggesting that you and Draco will start cooperating?" he asked smoothly.
"We cooperate," Draco said. He exchanged glances with Harry, eyes once again sparkling with mischief.
"Sometimes," he qualified.
"Boys?"
Narcissa said reproachfully. Harry had the distinct impression that Lucius and Severus were included in her admonishment.
"I recognize this is easing the tension for some, but I remind you that we do have company."
Harry winced as he looked back at his gobsmacked friends.
"This is easing the tension?" Ron questioned.
Yeah, Harry said. He did actually feel a little better than he had earlier. "It's just joking around, like everyone does at your house." Ron and Hermione's jaws dropped as Severus and the Malfoys' eyebrows rose at the comparison.
"Or not,"
Harry said. It hadn't been a particularly nasty exchange this time. But he had to admit, it probably didn't sound very friendly to someone not used to it. And Ron and Hermione were definitely not used to Severus and the Malfoys. Remus smiled at Harry in understanding.
"Perhaps the banter and the insults are a little more barbed here," he said. "I've often thought living in this household requires a thicker skin than the average home."
Gazing around the table at the people he lived with, Harry had to agree. Nice, polite, friendly, they weren't the first words he'd choose to describe any of them aside from Remus. Lucius had flat out said he didn't do nice. Harry had grown up exchanging insults with Dudley. It wasn't particularly a culture shock for him to adjust to the type of banter at Grimmauld Place.
Sarcasm, snide remarks, sneers, and smirks. It went beyond the level of friendly insults at the Burrow, with a darker edge. Harry enjoyed it, but he recognized that Hermione, in particular, probably found it rather offensive. Ron had grown up with plenty of insulting banter, but he also didn't appreciate it like the twins did. Suddenly, Harry wasn't sure his friends would ever understand his relationship with Draco. They didn't need to understand it, but he was more aware than ever that it was going to be extremely difficult for them to truly accept it. His and Draco's relationship wasn't as... he searched for an appropriate word. Light, as Ron and Hermione's. Did that mean he and Draco were dark? He shook his head to clear it of the abstract thoughts, realizing that everyone was watching him. "Ready to join us?" Draco drawled. "Sorry," Harry muttered. "Shall we try this again?" Severus asked. He waited until he received a sheepish nod from Harry before continuing. "Mr. Weasley, do you think you could answer my question now?" Ron swallowed audibly before speaking. It was Hermione's idea," he admitted, casting an apologetic glance in her direction. "I didn't like it at first, but it makes sense. And I really don't want to know this stuff." He paused as a shudder trailed down his spine. "I'll still have all my other memories," he continued. "I just don't want to end up like Lockhart. But I trust Harry. I think Hermione's more upset than I am, because she actually cares about learning new things. Taking away some of what she's learned isn't very pleasant for her. She wanted to explore the language, but she won't be able to now." "Are you referring to Parseltongue?" Severus questioned. "Yes," Hermione answered, darting a surprised glance at Harry. He shrugged. He'd forgotten that he told them about that. "It is regrettable," Severus murmured, eyeing Harry speculatively. "Have you attempted to write anything in Parseltongue?" "Yes, in my abundance of free time, I've explored writing in a language that no one can read aside from me," Harry said sarcastically. At Severus's glare, he rolled his eyes. "No, I haven't tried it. I can't even hear the Parseltongue. I just hear English. How you expect me to be able to write it is beyond my understanding." He wasn't overly surprised when Severus had Winky retrieve Snake, parchment, ink, and quill. He sighed in resignation and took up the quill. Winky had brought Rave, and Harry stared at his blue snake, hoping for inspiration. He had no idea how to do this.
"Does Master need something?" Rave hissed.
Harry snorted.
"Not exactly. They brought you, hoping it would help me. But I don't think you know how to write down your language, and that's what I'm trying to do,"
he said, tapping the parchment.
"I do think it's rather funny they brought you for this, though, since you're the Ravenclaw."
Rave slithered over to the parchment, flicking her tongue out, testing it.
"I do not believe I will be much help," she said. "I don't even hear your language. I hear mine," he said,
his face twisted into a grimace.
"That didn't make much sense."
He glanced at the others, listening to the interaction with awed fascination. Clearly they heard a different language, although Ron didn't seem particularly impressed, scooting closer to Hermione.
"Perhaps you need to write what you hear," Rave suggested.
Harry tilted his head curiously.
"Can I do that? And get Parseltongue?" "I do not know," Rave said.
Dipping the quill in the ink, he put it to the parchment.
"Keep talking," he hissed.
"Say, I think this experiment is pointless. Slowly."
He closed his eyes and concentrated on Rave, letting his hand write out what he was hearing. After he'd written the sentence, he opened his eyes and stared at the page. It was horrendously sloppy handwriting, but he could read it.
"What does it say?" Hermione asked excitedly.
"It's not English?" Harry asked. Hermione shook her head.
"It's the same as Voldemort's," she said, "only not nearly as neat."
Harry scowled at her. "At least I managed to do it," he said.
"What does it say?" she repeated.
He glanced down at the parchment. "I think this experiment is pointless," he read.
"Harry, it's not pointless," Hermione admonished. "This is a major accomplishment."
"I'm thrilled," Harry said sarcastically. "Lack of appreciation aside," Severus said, "it is clear that further study is possible." Harry wondered darkly if Severus and Hermione realized how much they were sometimes alike. Then again, Remus's eyes were also shining with the challenge of studying something new. Harry knew he was doomed to future experiments.
"Sorry, mate," Ron said, offering him a look of commiseration.
Grateful for the support, Harry smiled ruefully. At least he wasn't the only one who didn't appreciate this alleged accomplishment.
"So, can I have my bonfire now?" he asked.
"Yes, the book may be destroyed," Severus said dryly. "I would actually prefer it be done as soon as possible."
"Sir?"
Hermione spoke hesitantly. Severus arched a brow questioningly.
"I also want Harry to obliviate us as soon as possible," she said. "But I think it should be done here."
Ron groaned. "I was afraid she'd say that," he muttered. "Molly would not appreciate seeing the two of you disoriented," Remus said in agreement with Hermione.
"I don't understand," Harry said. "I thought this was supposed to be safe."
"I will make sure of it," Severus said. "However, with the level intended for this amount of memory modification, it will leave them disoriented for several hours. They will need time to adjust, and they will need to be observed."
"They may stay overnight," Narcissa said. "Many of the Slytherins have returned to their homes, so there is a room available."
"We'd share a room?" Ron blurted out, instantly blushing a bright red. Hermione was scandalized.
"Ron!"
Draco and Harry sniggered.
"I reckon it's a little more relaxed here than it is at the Burrow," Harry said. "Could you possibly spare me this commentary?"
Severus requested snidely, gazing at Ron and Hermione in disgust. Remus cleared his throat, attempting to suppress a smile.
"It will be little different than a stay in the hospital wing at Hogwarts," he explained. "If you wish to do this immediately, I can contact Molly and arrange for you to stay."
"Yeah, that'd be good," Ron said weakly.